Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. A federal moratorium on evictions has expired. It was put into place last summer as a public health measure during the COVID-19 crisis. Experts estimate more than 3.5 million Americans are in danger of losing their homes, some in a matter of days. Emily Benford teaches housing law at Wake Forest University. She says this will make the pandemic worse.
We can expect, in the weeks following these widespread evictions, COVID-19 rates to increase because the communities that are at the highest risk of eviction in this moment also have the lowest vaccination rates. And most troubling, 1 in 3 children are facing food or housing loss, and many of them are ineligible for vaccinations, so they will be at heightened risk.
Health officials in Florida reported yesterday there were 21,683 new coronavirus cases Friday, the highest number of daily cases since the pandemic began. Florida now accounts for about 20% of new cases in the U.S. Some people displaced by the Dixie and Tamarack wildfires in Northern California are now beginning to return home. Annalise from member station KQED reports.
Shifting winds are slowing growth on the western edge of the Dixie Fire. Some evacuation orders have been downgraded to warnings. In Alpine County, rain over the last week is helping contain the Tamarack Fire. All evacuation orders there are now lifted. Public Information Officer Mike DeFries says people returning home should expect a busy scene.
You've got fire crews, you have utility companies working to restore permanent power. There's just a lot of work to clean up after the fire.
The Dixie Fire is expected to be fully contained by October. The Tamarack Fire by the end of next month. Other fires continue to burn across the state. For NPR News, I'm Annalise Finney in Oakland.
More than 500 people marched through downtown Ottawa yesterday, demanding an investigation into former Indian residential schools. This follows the discovery of hundreds of human remains. Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto.
The March for Truth and Justice, as it was called, included speeches in front of the Parliament buildings. Then demonstrators marched to the Prime Minister's office and the Department of Justice building, chanting, "No justice, no peace." Organizers say they want an independent investigation into Canada's crimes against Indigenous people. They want the government and the Catholic Church to turn over documents related to the residential schools. The schools were funded by the government and run by the churches. 150,000 Native children were forced to attend from the late 1800s. Thousands were abused. Many died. Recently, the remains of more than 1,000 bodies were found in unmarked graves on the sites of 3 former schools. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
This is NPR News. United Nations officials say dozens of countries have missed the July 30th deadline to submit their new plans to cut greenhouse gases in time for a global climate change summit later this year. China and India are among those that failed to provide updated pledges. China is the country with the highest emissions in the world, while India is third. The U.S. is the second biggest global emitter, but did submit its new plan in April. In Scotland, officials say the country has hit a new record number of drug-related deaths for the 7th year in a row. Willem Marx reports.
In the past year, more than 1,300 people died in Scotland as a result of drugs, ensuring the country maintains its unenviable status as the European nation with the most such deaths. Glasgow, the city hosting this year's COP26 climate meeting, saw the second highest drug-related death rate of any city in Europe. Drug-related deaths in Scotland are now 3 times higher than they were just a decade ago, and individuals there are more than 3.5 times more likely to die for a drug-related reason than in neighbouring England. Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, called the figures shameful and unacceptable, but said the Scottish Government would not, quote, shirk responsibility. For NPR News, I'm Willem Marx in London.
The Senate held an unusual Saturday session yesterday to work on an infrastructure bill. The proposal would spend nearly $1 trillion on roads, bridges, rail lines, and public transit. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is expressing optimism the package can be approved before the summer recess, but lawmakers have not yet seen the final text of the bill. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.